Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? Hope you had a great weekend, and we're ready to start off the new work week with you. It's The Usual Suspects, which means Nick, Barry, Joel with you until 4 o'clock here at the Gal Media Studios, and hopefully you take us along for the ride, and whether you're inside or outside, we are here to provide sports information and entertainment. Fellas, what is up? We haven't spoken all weekend, so just catching up.
What's up, what's up, what's up?
What'd it do? What's going on?
A lot of good things happening in the H, that's for sure. You got the Rockets right in the ship, but more importantly, you got 9 in a row for your football team. Your baseball team still kicking the tires on big names, so they're going to be prevalent. It could be Green Bay. I mean, it could be a lot of cities that are cracking the bed all over the place.
I was going to have somebody do a wellness check on you. Not only was it the loss of the Cardinals, but I don't know how tight you are with McCarthy. I don't know if that's your man or not.
It was a weird deal because, you know, normally if they're in the middle of a great season, I'm in the man cave and I don't want anybody to bother me.
Yeah.
I've gotten to the point where I already have resorted to knowing how bad this season's going to end. So I was like, it's on in the living room, but I'm doing other things. But then when I was like, but it's still the Cardinals. They're still going to win. It's just I didn't believe in the point spread of 14.5. And then when I saw this thing transpiring, I go, Lisa, I'm going to give you a line my dad has pulled on me ever since I've been a kid. It's coming. And she's like, what is that? And I go, they're going to blow this game. They are going to find a way to lose this game, and it's going to happen. She's like, how can you be so sure? I go, I just have a feeling. And when they did, I was like, well, the season's over. But I didn't expect them to can him right there before the end of the night.
Where are you on that? Is that okay?
I think that surprised a lot of folks, to be honest with you.
There are people that are upset with it, but I think that they're getting a head start on the rest of the league, unless you're the Browns, in looking for who the next guy is going to be, and now they get an advantage by getting a few extra weeks to be able to get out, reach out and contact coaches. But I've heard Tony Dungy last night and other people say, he won a Super Bowl. Out of respect, you got to keep him till the end of the year. But if you've lost your locker room and you and the quarterback are at odds, it doesn't do anybody any good. Because now that they're out of it, the main storyline is, let's talk about how much they're feuding and how bad this is.
So one of the things I was thinking about when this all transpired was, you know, if you recall, McCarthy came on board right around the time they drafted Aaron Rodgers, right? I think it was the year before or the year of or the year after. I think Rodgers was drafted in 2005, but I think he joined in 2005, if I'm not mistaken.
No, well,
So he was the decision maker that decided to sit him behind Favre and not let him play until Favre moved on. So I just wondered how much of that has always bothered Aaron Rodgers. Like Aaron, if you know a guy like Aaron Rodgers, then the competitive nature that he is, he's probably a lot like Tom Brady. Like, I'm the best. You should play me right away. I just wonder if that hasn't always kind of stuck with him. And then when the chips are down, it's like, yeah, I want this dude out of here.
So here's the deal. His animosity with McCarthy probably isn't that. It's the fact that Mike McCarthy was the offensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers when Rodgers was coming out with Alex Smith, and he sat down and told Aaron Rodgers, we're going to take you number one overall, and then they took, and then the Niners took Alex Smith, and he never forgot that. And then when the regime
came
in.
Can you blame the OC for that, though? I mean, that's a GM thing.
Sure, it's a GM to make the actual pick. But then don't tell him. Don't blow smoke up his ass.
Maybe
tell
the GM told him that. I don't know.
But then he was there. And look, when McCarthy was there a couple of years before Rodgers got the starting gig, but he and Ted Thompson both basically shoved Favre out because they said, we're going to lose Aaron Rodgers if we don't play him now. So he actually appreciated the fact that they pushed him into that starting role. But then it's run its course. Rodgers, it's like Peyton Manning later in his career. Everybody was worried about, you don't need an offensive coordinator because he's going to make the calls. That's what Manning did. I heard from several people, we even have some audio that we might get to later, but that have said he's so smart now and he thinks he's so smart that it's going to be tough to find a guy that's going to have his respect that also is going to have his ear to state that to think Rodgers will listen to him. Because they said what it's come down to is there were two competitive egos that were fighting over play calling, and Rodgers would change the play a lot, or after it failed, instead of keeping it internal, he would look right at the camera, not the cameras, he'd look at the sidelines going, that's a horrible effing call.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's one of those things where I don't think it was fair to Mike McCarthy. There was no one else on that team to help Aaron Rodgers. I mean, it was literally Aaron Rodgers and nobody. And that's not fair to Mike McCarthy when you got a guy. I kind of agree with Tony Dungy in a way. Just because you won a Super Bowl, just shouldn't guarantee you your job. But at the same time, I've always found it fascinating that all of a sudden, this guy that can win a Super Bowl and do so good for so long, now all of a sudden he sucks. He forgot how to coach. Look, players get worse as they get older. That's a fact. Your skills deteriorate. But as far as a coach, unless you're like 90 years old and have lost your faculties and ability to think, how does a coach get worse? They may lose the locker room. That's one thing. And superstars may not be buying into what they do anymore for whatever reason. But a good coach is a good coach. And like they said last night on Sunday Night Football, they're going to be beating down this dude's door for a job.
He's not going to be without a job if he doesn't want to. He'll have a job next year.
So I think, though, to blame him and say it was his fault, he's the scapegoat. And I think that's pretty obvious by now.
If players don't respond to you, though, that's kind of part of coaching. That's not necessarily to say he's a bad coach. But almost everybody in that locker room stopped responding to Mike McCarthy. So I think if they didn't stop responding to him, if it wasn't such a dissected or divided culture in that locker room, I don't think he would have lost his job until the end of the year. But because he had no respect from any of the players in that locker room, you could tell they weren't responding to some of his play calls or anything.
Now, we've said this about O'Brien, but this is the kind of thing that I've noticed, because you are in a pressure cooker. And especially when you're the only game in town there, but nationally too, everybody's has high expectations. All of a sudden, when you see Mike McCarthy not doing the right thing with his timeouts, not managing the clock the right way, not putting them in a position where they have the resources to win games, you realize that the pressure's starting to get to him.
What's the big deal? It didn't hurt Bill O'Brien and the Texans.
Yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of people changing their tune now because of the 9 in a row.
I tell you what, I'm not going to lie, and I know we're going to get Texans in the next segment, I'm sure, but
sure.
I was super impressed with the play calling.
No question.
Again, it's funny, though. It's funny how when everything's working, you look like a genius. Yep. The fact that they can run the ball now, you don't hear people like, that's stupid. They always run it on first down. Now they're like, man, look at that. They're doing great. Yeah, that's because the offensive line is doing their job. Everybody's doing their job. The play calls are pretty much the same. It's a very run-heavy attack.
They're still running a lot on first down.
So that goes back to the point with Mike McCarthy. I feel like if the players would have performed better, regardless of how much they respected him or whatnot, if they do their job, he's probably not in this situation. And think about this. Well, they made the – I think it was Tony Dungy or somebody pointed out about the fact that they should have won the Detroit game.
Five missed field goals.
They should have won the game yesterday.
Minnesota.
They should have won Minnesota. They're 4-7-1. They should have been 7-4-1. So he doesn't kick field goals, and he doesn't get the field goal kicker. That's a GM job.
But to Nick's point,
he's very much a scapegoat in this.
It got to be.
If they respected him, he wouldn't be gone.
It's not even about a respect. It's a divided locker room. It was like James and Dwight here in Houston. The bottom line is you've got so many guys that believe that because it's Aaron Rodgers. If Aaron Rodgers has soured on the coach, side with Aaron because if we don't have Aaron, we suck.
Yeah, that's true.
As opposed to totally I got to go with the coach because he's the head guy.
So to be fair, do we say that he lost the locker room or he lost Aaron Rodgers and then everybody followed suit because it was Aaron Rodgers. Because I think that's probably a little more accurate.
That could totally happen. And look, how much of this is a product of the fact that in 2016 or 2017, Joel, I believe the head coach, they changed who he had to answer to.
Mark Murphy, the president. Yep.
Before, he didn't have to answer him. And maybe that might be a part of the reason why he got fired in the middle of the season as opposed
to. But also, guys, Nick, and Barry, to your point, flip the script. So it's always something, it changes so much when you're winning. But when you're losing, too, the fact of the matter was, to your point about, and I've said it all along, they never put the right guys around Aaron Rodgers.
Of course.
And when you look at it, Ted Thompson was a guy when he was drafting and refused to go into free agency, and they were building, you see these young guys coming up that could play. Ted was a great guy. He was the man for the job. But then you start looking at it, and the drafts start failing. And you haven't gone into free agency, and you're looking at Rodgers' resume going, he's only got one Super Bowl.
Go on.
Yeah. And that it just and then you're losing. Hey man, it's an easy fix. That's the first thing they're gonna do.
I know we reversed it a little bit, but I have non-sports thoughts about things to get how we normally get started with that.
Yep.
I want to get your thoughts on this Facebook portal. Have you seen this?
No,
I haven't seen it.
All right, we'll talk about it on the other side.
Okay.
They put a John in the
No. Portal, not porta potty.
Oh, sorry. I'm just trying to get it straight.
No.
All right. If you want to reach the show, HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, and of course, you can always reach us on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at the producer Nick. We are the usual suspects. That means this is ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second segment of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on a Monday fun day. So hopefully you take us along for the ride throughout your business day and whatever you got going on. And we always tell you, ESPN975.com. Download the app. Therefore, you take us anywhere, everywhere. Never have any issues with anything other than catching our show from start to finish. So we covered a lot of that. By the way, I will say this. McCarthy, in my mind, will be the Cleveland Browns' next head coach.
Mike McCarthy?
Yeah.
Okay.
To wrap that
up. Isn't the former GM from
John
the Packers
Dorsey
there?
Worked with him and all the Packer guys went over there last year.
Yeah.
Browns should be excited for that. They should be excited for that, I think.
Makes a lot of sense.
And I'm sure that they'll kick the tires on Lincoln Riley, but I think that the Packer personnel in the front office
commodity.
He's got a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Absolutely. Real quick, I keep seeing these commercials on Sundays for the Facebook portal. And I don't know if you know this or not, but it's like a, you know what FaceTime is, right? On Apple.
Yep.
How you can video chat with somebody.
Sure.
It's the same thing. It's FaceTime. It's just Facebook time. It's just a Facebook portal. So you can, like they have one where this guy's like, oh, he gets reminded on his portal that it's his sister's birthday. He's like, oh, portal, call Lucy. And then they have a Facebook conversation. And what they're showing you is that it'll follow you around the room.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Like the camera.
You move and it moves with you. So, couple things here. I already have to worry that people are hacking into my laptop while I am on Pornhub. I don't need another camera in the house. Now one that can follow me. At least if I'm active while I'm watching Pornhub, my laptop screen doesn't follow me. I can go wherever whatever I do on the swings and whatnot. The other thing that I did think about, though, was like, you know, 30 years ago, watching the Jetsons and watching Dick Tracy, you remember seeing that they had video phones on the Jetsons. Dick Tracy had a phone watch. He had a watch phone, and it was like no way that would ever happen. You thought that would be like, you know, 100
years from now.
Yeah, 2200, you know, and 50 before you saw something. And damn it if it's not all coming true. Like, we literally have watch phones, and we literally have video phones now via Facebook. And it's amazing, but then the other thing I think about when I see those commercials is I was like, man, Facebook already pushes so much crap on us. for using the app. They just they're constantly bombarding you with new crap to use and do. That this is going to be the next thing. When you get ready to do something, it's like, do you want to talk to this person on the portal? Like, yeah. No, I just leave me alone.
Facebook is kind of becoming a bully, aren't they?
They're very much a bully.
They push a lot of ads on you too.
Bunch of bitches. They're just acting like a bunch of bitches.
Because every time someone comes up with a good idea, they just use the same idea, call it the Facebook version, and then kill that company.
Yeah.
It happens like all the time.
And you really if you want to use social media in a way to be social with your friends, they have all this other intrusive stuff that they force upon you. And I'll tell you, the one that drives me the craziest, and I'm learning this even with my Google Home thing, my Home Mini that I have, is your phone, they say that they don't. I'm pretty sure they listen to your conversations, that when the mic is on.
And, oh, no doubt.
Because you'll have a conversation, and then you'll see something on your phone, like an ad, for something you just talked about.
Well, we talked about this before, remember?
Yeah,
and then during the political season, and all of a sudden, if you mention a candidate, next thing you know, you were getting a text and a call.
I forget what I was doing. I was talking to my wife about something, and then there ended up being an ad on my phone.
It was Beto, wasn't it?
No. This was recently. Oh. I mentioned something, and then there an ad came. And then I thought, so now this is starting to happen with Google Home, where they're listening, and then they're going to use that eventually. But it's going to be the same thing with Facebook Portal. They're just going to be listening to your conversations. And
yeah.
It's creepy, man. It's funny because you think about the Dick Tracy watch, and you think about the Jetsons video, and then you think about, 1984, and you think about Big Brother, and you think, that's not... that also, I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination, but it gets creepy, the stuff that they have access to.
It's so funny because everybody thinks about that. One of the funniest episodes I've ever seen on Shark Tank was this guy who was literally pitching this little plastic piece that goes over your laptop camera. That way no one could spy on you while you're... And that was literally his business, was to pitch that, because security is such a big deal. The guy respected it. He's like, look, that is the legit problem in this world, cyber... security is a big problem, but no one's going to buy that.
Just get some tape. Well, who the hell would buy?
Yeah.
I just put a piece of tape on it.
But it just goes to show how much people are worried about cybersecurity because it's ridiculous.
It's funny because have you heard of these RFID wallets? These RFID, so people can walk by with a device and pull your credit card number off card.
Yep.
Without having it. They can just get, if they get close enough to you. So they make wallets now, RFID wallet, that won't work. And I'm just this is just insane. Technology is such a blessing for so many things. But at the same time, you're it's also kind of a curse.
But isn't the whole reason why they make it to where you don't need to see your credit card is so you don't have a wallet? I thought that was supposed to replace the wallet.
But if you're at a Starbucks, Barry's point,
iPhone...
if you're at a Starbucks or something, between your computer and your wallet, and especially if your information loaded, the guy sitting at the table next to you, if he gets close enough to you, you go up and get a coffee.
Yeah,
they can get all your stuff and go to town.
So there's a new gas station that they built in front of our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And for the longest time, it was just a normal gas station. You would just go in, you would put in your credit card, take it out, punch in the code. And then one day, there was a different screen. You put your card in, and if you pulled it out too fast, it would say, oh, no, leave your card in while the transaction takes place. So you would leave your card in, and then an entirely different, very rudimentary screen would pop up. And it would say processing, and you would type in your number. And immediately the IT guy in me was like, this is suspect as hell. This is not normal, not what you see on a gas station screen. So I never went back to that gas station. And then I'm looking at my Facebook page, 9 people have had their credit card stolen from that gas station and used. I was you got to kind of pay attention.
Yeah,
the absolutely. Other thing, though, that they're getting smart about, too, is Lisa came in the living room while I was watching the game yesterday and was like, do you believe that someone hacked into my credit card? And not only hacked into my credit card, but took the time to look at the charges and when they came about in previous months and then decided to duplicate to the exact penny the charge that is when she pays a certain
$10 a month
or when she has to pay the insurance, right? And so the insurance bill is this, because they expected, I just looked at the bill and just saw the number and went, oh yeah, that's me paying for the insurance for the month out of our account.
Uh-huh.
And it was when she looked at who charged it, it was from a foreign company in Europe going through a hardware store, but got it to the penny.
Yeah.
So that a lot of people don't even take the time to notice it, and they just let it go.
Yeah,
it's
that's
crazy.
They're creative.
Oh yeah,
would be an understatement.
But
they
again,
have a lot more time on their hands to come up with ways to steal your money than you do to protect.
But
it.
We always go back and say if they're that
you sound
smart,
so old right
and,
now.
Yeah, but I was gonna say
these damn thieves and they're just taking our money.
If you're that smart and pay that much attention to detail in trying to do something illegal, couldn't you be utilizing those same skills with a job?
Be so positive that be, somewhere,
yeah, kicking some ass, making some money legally.
Or if you're gonna do it, at least be funny, like Melissa McCarthy did in that Identity Thief movie. That was fantastic.
That was very.
That was pretty funny.
That was funny. I did a.
You watched that?
It was a great movie.
Yeah.
Watch it. It's a funny movie.
Very funny. I think she's hilarious. I really do. She's silly funny. I like silly funny.
She is. She's got it. Okay.
I enjoy silly funny. I did shows this weekend for an audience. It was a private gig. Mm-hmm. We did two shows. One at 1 p.m. and one at 6 p.m. I've never done comedy at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. The average age was maybe 75.
I was going to say. They have to be an older crowd if it's at 1 p.m.
Do you have to keep it clean?
No, I never said the F word, which I will on stage. I just do. But I didn't say the F word. Everything else, I didn't censor. And they were some of the best crowds I've worked in a long time. They had a great, but it was
you
weird.
You got your target demographic figured out.
It was weird to be doing comedy at 1 p.m. in the afternoon. It was just
forget
weird.
Forget all these online videos and things you're going to do. Now you just need to get, you need to record your sets on a cassette tape. And then you need to do a VHS video of it, and you're going to be knocking out
Dropping
of the park.
My gramophone album. Speaking of, so I was looking when we were Friday in Beaumont. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a show there next year. People keep asking me when I'm going to come to Beaumont, and nobody's booking shows. So I was like, well, I'll just book my own show, right? So somebody suggests I go to this place, and I'm not going to mention their name, but the guy could not have been more of a dick to me. When
really?
I walked in, I was like, hey, my name's Barry. I'm a comedian, and I also do radio, and I was looking to maybe book a show here. And he goes, three comedians walk into a bar. I was like, okay, I just want to look around. Then he goes, how dirty are you? Are you a shock jock? I was like, what does that have to do with anything? If I rent the room, like, he just kept grilling me. I was like, you know what? I'm out of here. I 5 minutes in, and you are, I couldn't work with you.
Did
no
he say
way.
You could use that joke as an opening line?
Oh, my
it
God.
It could work for you?
I might have tackled him right there. But it was just the rudest. It was like, man, it's amazing how some people stay in business. But it is coming. I'm going to find a spot. So if you're listening in Beaumont and you have an idea, I have some names already of places. But if you got any, text them or tweet them to me. And
Donna,
make
sure that
I'll look
you
into
get...
it. Oh, she's in on it already.
Yeah,
she is
if she
on
could
it.
Find the old folks' homes and some
no,
of the senior
no.
citizen living centers that
Don't
might,
put that
that
evil
might
on
have
her,
like an
Ricky
auditorium
Bobby.
Or something that might work. All right, we're a half hour in, still going to go on the big show. Lots to get to, including your Houston Texans and their nice straight win. We might even touch on a little Rockets basketball, but lots of stuff on the docket. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Second half hour of the show. Broke a little ice for you. Now we're pouring the beverages and getting down to the nitty gritty. Talking a little bit about sports and other things on The Usual Suspects on a Monday. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. And of course, the topic on everybody's mind is that ninth straight win for your Houston Texans. The boys down on Kirby took care of business in a pretty dominant fashion. Barry and I were talking about it during the break. I don't know what you define as a blowout. But they were comfortably in control from the jump yesterday.
Yeah, 23-0 at half, and then it ends 29-13. So obviously a little bit of a letdown in the second half. But I think a lot of that, as they described on the broadcast, is guys go in the locker room and think, we got this. And then they kind of stop listening. They stop caring as much. They stop trying as hard. They're cruising. They're on cruise control. I'll chalk it up to that because – I'm not going to pick this team apart as well as they're playing week after week after week. We keep talking about, man, I don't know if I trust this team. I don't know if I trust this nine games. It's fool's gold. Are they really this good? And every week, all they do is keep winning. And you can talk about their defense. You can talk about the run game. And all of that has something to do with it. But everything is meshing and everything is working. And it's a hell of a lot of fun if you're a Texans fan when you consider, one, how the season started. And two, the fact that every year for so many years, you've had to watch a team struggle to get to 9-7. They're at 9-3 right now, and it would take a monumental collapse for this team to finish 9-7.
You've got to
be excited.
No doubt about it. And that's the thing. You know what? And you know, I was sitting there looking at everything last night, and of course, writer's block for Sports Map. But I wrote a column on when do you get to the point where you change your opinion on Bill O'Brien? Because the good news is you only play, but we've talked about this ad nauseum. You have to play the schedule that's given to you. So you whether you think it's an impressive win or not, You stack nine straight wins. But the good thing is, every week they seem to have gotten better.
Yeah.
And shortcomings like the offensive line, the secondary, a lot of things, they've taken the time to pay attention to detail to get it to a point where it's at least manageable, serviceable, better than average, above average, or in some cases just average. But like you said, who would have thought Lamar Miller is the fifth best rusher in all of football, and I think the second best rusher in the AFC? That's impressive for an offensive line like that.
And if you watch that game, you could see specifically in the first half, that Texans O-line in the run and in runs was dominant up front. I mean, they were, and Myles Garrett got a couple sacks, but he never went off all day. Give a ton of credit to this offensive line for the way that they played all game long. Are they great? No. Are they good? Probably not. But they're playing like they're average, and it's looking like with all the weapons that this team has developed and has and went out and got, that might be just enough. If you could just buy this team enough time or just create a big enough hole for Lamar Miller to see it and hit it, that's what they've been lacking, and they're getting that kind of play. I mean, you have to be excited about that. And I think we would be remiss if I didn't start, and I know it's too late now, but the very first thing, the roof was closed yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Even Lisa is all over that.
Get your bleep together, Texans. Like, I want to say mean things, and I know what the organization is going through, but damn it, what'd you put a roof on this thing for? It was 73 degrees?
It was a nice day. It was a beautiful day.
Gorgeous day.
It was a beautiful day.
I had one guy tell me, oh, well, look, it's like 12 degrees hotter down in the lower bowl. So 89. You're going to bitch about 89 and no humidity watching a football game.
We've beat this one before.
Get out of here.
But here's my thing.
Open the damn roof.
You spent 50 some extra million to get it to be retractable, and you don't use it. That's one
idiotic
thing, right? Second thing is, everybody's looking for a home field advantage. Like, if the Packers are in it, making them go to Lambeau in December.
Yeah.
Right? If you're the Texans and you practice in it every day, and then you open the roof and you take a team from the East Coast to the Midwest and make them come to Houston in December and play in the heat for an entire football game, and you can't tell me that's not an advantage for your team, you ain't thinking this through then.
I wonder if the players wanted it closed, because we know Astros players wanted it closed.
They like the World Series because the ball flight. Yeah,
the ball flight, right?
Yeah.
One thing I do, tons of praise to Bill O'Brien. First of all, tons of praise to Romeo Crennel.
Yep.
Yeah. I thought he did a masterful job with that defense and the scheme that they ran, that secondary and the linebacking play that they got up front. I didn't think they got a lot of pressure on Mayfield for most of the game. It didn't look like, you didn't hear a lot from J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney. Clowney got in the mix a little bit, but overall, pretty quiet day. But that's a good offensive line, but the secondary played out of their minds, as did the linebackers. And I think a lot of credit needs to go to Romeo Crennel for what the job that he's doing with this defense week in and week out, because they're why they're winning.
They singled him out on Sunday Night Football last night in the pregame, going, you want to give a game ball? You want to talk about someone that deserves some credit? Romeo Crennel
absolutely
has that defense playing well. And here's the other thing, guys. As much as he was a guy that's going to be getting better and be better year in, year out, Justin Reed should be up for Rookie of the Year on the Defensive Rookie of the Year in this league. And I know that Derwin James, and he played great again last night for the Chargers, but he started all 12 games. And Ward for the Browns started 11 games. This guy's only started 8 games, has the same amount of picks. He makes tackles. He sticks his head in there. He makes big-time hits, too. And he has helped to solidify the back end of that secondary along with the Honey Badger. But, boy, I'm a big fan of Justin Reed and what he does for this football team.
I think everybody is. I think you saw what he was able to do. He's And going back to Romeo Crennel, I mean, this it's so funny because a few weeks ago we were talking about him being a scapegoat and him being potentially a victim in this in this team in the event that they don't turn it around after that 0-3 start. So, yeah, he definitely deserves the game ball. And Justin Reed, as long as he keeps playing like that, you got to steal.
No
doubt.
He was a first-round talent, slipped to the third round. Some say it was because of his brother and the anthem and the protest. For whatever reason, you got one hell of a stud in the back end of your secondary now, and that's huge. And just overall how guys have stepped up and started to resurface. But Cunningham, the one thing you realize now is when they drafted him, they said, well, he's an athlete. He can really cover some ground. He can run. Well, you're seeing how big of an athlete he can be, and the guys that step up, like you said, when Watt and Clowney aren't the guys that are getting the sacks, there's other guys making plays. And again, we ripped him early in the year as maybe this was the year he really steps off in Jonathan Joseph. But until he got hurt,
he was
JJ's been
well
playing
too.
His ass off.
I mean, that whole secondary has. When you consider that they've been banged up and Kareem with a move to safety and how well he's made that transition. I mean, that first half was a lot of fun to watch. You know, you only had one touchdown offensively. And Deshaun Watson isn't playing out of his mind, and I'm okay with that because another game without an interception, and the results are positive, and it's another win. And as long as he's not throwing dumb throws and giving up the ball, whether it be getting hit in the pocket and fumbling the ball or throwing interceptions, I think it starts and ends with that. If Deshaun Watson hangs onto the ball, this defense is good enough to keep teams in check, to get a couple of turnovers, to get put you in position to get a short field and score. The recipe that they have going is right.
And I don't know if you put that into the category of decision making, but not only not hanging on the ball too long, but he's making absolutely the right decision on almost every play. He's not throwing into double coverage anymore.
That's what I mean. He's not forcing the ball in where he would in the past. He just throw it up.
He's going through
D-Hop
his progressions. He's taken, even if it's only for 4 or 5 yards, it's live to play another down kind of football. But he's managing the game the right way, and that's a big factor for this team.
And they beat it into the ground during the broadcast, but they talked about the fact that, you know, even Bill O'Brien said how he coaches him to get rid of the ball. But the fact that Deshaun, you know, he's kind of got a little Superman in him. He thinks he can make something out of nothing every play, and he's got to get better at that. And it's true. He does have to get better at that, and you saw that on both sides of the ball. Baker Mayfield was the same way. They think they can make, but that's rookies. That's young guys. And so it's encouraging, though, to see him get a little more mature. He's sliding now. He's not trying to just take everybody head on. He's starting to mature a little bit, and that's good because you feel like he's got the arm. And he's got the brains. It's just he needs to have the maturity to go with it. And he's not putting up great numbers. He's pedestrian.
But he's doing everything you need your quarterback to do so he doesn't cost
you a game, but he
keeps you in the game. That's what I said. Yeah. And here's the other thing on your Crennel point. They didn't sack Baker Mayfield yesterday, but they made him uncomfortable on almost every time he dropped back to pass. He might not have been sacked per se on the official stat card, but he was hit. He was bothered, he was pestered, and he was guessing all over the place because he wasn't making a lot of the right reads. And when you win the turnover battle by 4, you're probably going to win the football game more times than not.
That's a good formula.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I'm just glad Bill O'Brien didn't take the cheese. He's not taking the cheese.
Is that what he said?
Again.
What is that?
It's like when you start taking the cheese in this league.
Oh, that was after he said drinking the Kool-Aid and taking the cheese the first time.
Yep,
sniffing their own farts.
Start taking...
Is that what he's saying? They're not sniffing their own farts?
It's the same thing, but yeah.
That's what it means. It's
close enough for Barry.
Yeah.
Get a knife pulled on you at the dollar store and you smell your own farts.
Yeah, well.
Or other people do.
Sounds like that's what he's not doing, so that's good for him.
Corey, we see you. We'll get to you next. You want to talk a little bit about Billy O so we can continue the dialogue going on your Houston Texans. And, of course, before we go to break, I do want to tell you about Gallery Furniture. They got a lot going on right now. They got 3 locations to better serve you. All 3 locations open till 10 p.m. 7 days a week here in the Houston area on Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland in the Galleria area and I-45 North exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Max sits at the front desk. He will greet you himself, put you in the hands of capable salespeople, and make sure that the customer service, the way you're treated, and the furniture you get is going to be so good that you'll want to come back whenever you need furniture. It's all solid wood and American brands like Stickley, Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster. They take care of you, whether you want upholstered furniture or leather furniture, furniture for your man cave or maybe for your living room, a nice dining room set. It's all great brands by brands that are going to last. With solid wood furniture, you know it doesn't come with directions, and you have to sit there and try and assemble it yourself and bring it home yourself. They're going to deliver it to you. Their delivery people are going to put it where you want it. They're going to take away what you don't need, and they're going to make sure that they're there and ask you if there's anything else they can do for you, because they know that's all part of building a relationship so you come back to them again and again. They've got special deals going on for the holidays where if you buy $4,000 or more worth of furniture, you get 40% back in accessories. And, of course, the Astros promotion is on again, only it's a double down. If the Rockets win it this year or the Astros win it next year after you spend $3,000 or more on mattresses in the bedroom department, you get those mattresses for free. It's all the way Mac does business. He's a part of Houston. He wants you to come there whenever you need furniture. And everything that Mac says is everything they're going to do. That means no back order slips. They're going to do everything they can at customer service wise. But the most important thing is Gallery really will save you money.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, and we appreciate you taking us along for the ride. It's The Usual Suspects on a Monday on ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel. Kicking around a little Texans for you, and the fact that the nine in a row is alive and well.
How long does this last?
They got the Colts this week.
Is it over?
It could be.
After losing to the Jags 6-0. 6-0. 6-0.
I'll tell you what, though. They're the middle of their lineup.
That vaunted Indy.
They got
O-line.
Great production from the middle of their lineup. Their closer did their job, and you know they closed it out at 6-0. Yeah. It was a great team victory for the Colts.
Yeah.
God, can you imagine having to watch? Or, no,
Jags won.
That's right, the Jags won. Sorry. Yes. That's the thing. I had to subject myself to Packers Cardinals, but at least it was snow and there was some. And there was some scoring. Holy 6-0 bad.
Yeah. So is it? Does it get to 10? Do they beat the Colts?
If they play like they did against the Jags, I think yes. But I don't know if they're going
to be. No, not in Indy. It's here.
It's here, and I think that the bigger thing is if their defense keeps playing the way they're playing, I think you have every reason to believe they're going to win at home. They're going to beat the Colts
so far this year at home. Two of their three losses came on the road.
Look, they've convinced me. I used to think every week that the streak was going to end. Now, for like the third week in a row, I firmly believe this team's getting better every week.
I mean, when you look at that Colts-Jags game, Jacksonville's secondary finally decided to show up. The defense finally decided to show up, obviously. The O-line had its worst game in weeks for the Colts, but Ramsey played out of his mind.
He played great.
Even the Colts defense played well. They were never really – I mean, this wasn't like a game where offense just two offensive juggernauts put up – it wasn't 74-72. It's just, you know, you had Kessler for the Jags after Bortles got benched, so you knew that they were going to be very conservative, which they were. And that just by not turning the ball over, it paid off for them just because they were able to get down to the red zone, get a couple of field goals. And for some reason, inexplicably, the Colts just couldn't do anything.
Well, and again, that's the potential that defense had going into the season that everybody believed you were going to see week in, week out. We haven't seen it all year. Like you said, the secondary really stepped up. Ramsey proved how good he can be when he's focused, and he's still a hell of a talent. But overall, everything I saw on social media was all about the likes of, but whether it's Kessler or Bortles, if the Jags tried to convince everybody that they didn't have a problem at quarterback, they should be up 27-0 the way they were playing, and yet they won the game 6-0.
Yeah. So
that shows you that the division, and again, a few weeks ago we were talking about the Titans, then we were talking about the Colts.
Well, I think the division is over.
It's over, yeah. I agree with that. But I think that with that being said too, Texans still have plenty to play for, especially with the Steelers losing last night. They know that they can get probably as high as 2 if they continue to play their cards right and take care of their business. Like we said, just take care of the schedule on your plate. So I think they can beat the Colts. They can get to 10.
Okay.
They get to 11?
Yeah.
That means they have the longest streak in the league then. because the Saints had 10.
Yeah, I think that they probably lose to the Eagles. And then if it doesn't matter, they'll lose to the Jets.
That's in Philly, right?
Yes, that's on the road.
And the weather and
Christmas Day.
Yep. I can see that happening. Yeah.
Let's get Corey's call in. He wants to talk about Bill O'Brien. Corey, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So before I say what my concern is, I do have a lot of positives to say about Bill O'Brien. I think he's done a fantastic job in the streak, the 9 games, done a great job as far as helping just the team mature. But the one thing I'm concerned about is his killer mentality heading into the last part of the season and into the playoffs. And my example for that would be at the end of the first half when it was clock winding down. Texans had 2 timeouts. I think they threw it to Hopkins on the side. And everyone was expecting a penalty. And even though you could put on extra points, with 2 timeouts, he let 13 seconds run off the clock, just kind of standing there going, where's the flag? So am I being pessimistic, or does it have a little bit of warrant that I'm worried about Bill O'Brien's kind of killer mentality as a coach?
Appreciate the call, Corey. You go? Me?
Go ahead.
You know, I had made a note because when I watch games, I always keep my phone with me and make notes for the first half and the second half. And one of my notes at the end of the first half is Bill O'Brien's timeout game still sucks. Mm-hmm. His timeout game still sucks. Why the hell the Browns were calling timeouts for him?
I was
have
surprised
no idea.
At that too.
Yep.
But Bill O'Brien should have been the one calling the timeouts. And at the end of the game, not paying attention. I totally understand what you're saying, Corey, because the one knock on him has always been in-game management and how he does. And I mean, that's not the one knock on him, I should say. There's a lot of knocks on him. But the one thing that I'm still worried about is the in-game management. He's play calling is working because the plays are working, so you can't really bitch about it if it's effective. They're a very good run team. They're run-oriented, but they're putting up good enough numbers. But damn it, if he doesn't scare me with his in-game management.
Here's the thing I'm going to throw at you guys. On the flip side, too, because we said they were pretty comfortably ahead the entire game. Were you comfortable how late he left Deshaun in the game, too? Because the game seemed to be pretty much under wraps. You had it. And the last thing you want to do is keep some of your key players on the field too long and risk an injury because you know you're going to the playoffs. And you know how important Deshaun Watson is. I kind of in the fourth quarter was like, at what point are you going to sit him down and just say, great job, and put a baseball hat on so that you don't risk injury, because it was over.
Yeah, I mean, really, it was always over. This was never that close.
I agree.
But I think you're talking about a kid that I just said a segment or two ago that one of the things he's got to do that his next progression is maturity, in-game maturity. And he's not going to get that if he's not playing. And there's always a risk with him. I get it. It's tough because you want him to get those reps. He missed a lot of time last year. I mean, he just passed his official 16-game, quote, 1 year in the NFL a couple games ago. So it's not like he's got a ton of...
But I can come back at you, Barry, and say, look at what we were dealing with that stretch of games earlier, especially the Cowboy game, when he just took that massive beating and took so many hits, and we were like, look, he can't sustain doing this week in, week out, where it could be a problem, and you know how bad they play when he's not in the game, that, like you said, if the game was under control, at some point, yeah, you can still, he's learning and he's working on things, but you can do that at practice after a while because you did for 3 quarters or 3+ quarters, you did it in the game. I just don't want to risk him getting hurt.
I mean, their last drive, they after the Browns touchdown, there was, you know, they ran the ball. So that was the other thing. I don't mind that. If you're just going to have him in there to hand the ball off, and that's fine. Now, before that, though, there was, you know, he did take some snaps and shotgun and throw the ball around a little bit, and that can make you a little nervous. But again, it's a young guy, and he needs to get better.
Or the center fumbles the ball, and he goes down to get it, and someone crushes his collarbone or something. I mean, I just worry about thing happening. It would be so Texan-ish.
You're right. I mean, it totally would. But it's a tough call. It really is. That is the one thing where you're kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yeah, I just wanted to kick it around because I'm sure people would have opinions on it. Because you know, if it was a tight game, totally get it, right? And he's got to be out there.
Sure.
But I'm just not comfortable with, like we said, for a lot of reasons, including it being Houston,
a 16-point lead, and
he's out there, and then some fluky happens, and you're like, well, you're hopes and dreams were dashed by a fumble in the fourth quarter with a 16-point lead. Sound familiar? I don't know. All right, so we got one of the books. We still got two to go, the big show. We got plenty more to get to, and we'll continue to roll on. But again, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, you want to join the conversation, HR&P listener line is for you, 713-780-3776. You can call that number. You can text that number, and of course, you can reach us on Twitter. Hour number two is right around the corner. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Right now, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for a while now. Their whole objective is to get you the best rate possible and get you the best energy situation that you can have. On top of that, they still do things like free nights and weekends and things like that. But the most important thing is they want to tailor make a program for you and your energy usage, whether it be for your business or your family. That means they're going to ask you questions. When you call 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732, you're not going to get an automated system. You're going to get a human being. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them because they want to tailor make a program for you and your needs, when you use energy the most, when you use it the least, all those kind of things. You can also mention ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit to start the process going the right way. And then, like I said, it's going to be a casual conversation where they try and get to the bottom line of what kind of energy plan you need. The rate will be that suits you. Everything that they put into it will be because it's tailor-made for you, not like a big company that just wants your business, sign on the dotted line, and then go away until your contract's about to expire. It doesn't work that way. Josh Pesikoff and his staff do a fantastic job of making sure that you sign with them, stay with them, and are happy with them because of their customer service and their attention to detail to tailor make the program and personalize it. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. They're never going to try to obscure you, trick you, confuse you, or deceive you. They're going to be like a friend, 100% honest, and making sure they're there for you when you need them most. Infuse energy into your life.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.